Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast. In these podcasts, we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday sermons at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll also discuss other topics as we consider how to live out our faith in Christ. Our desire is that the Word of God would press into your everyday life.
All right, everybody, welcome back. This is Josh.
Hey, and this is Scott.
And we're glad to be back after Thanksgiving break. Ooh,
yes, it was Thanksgiving.
That's right. And I think last time we talked about pie, so what kind of pie did you wind up with?
There were four pies. Four made it to my house.
All right.
Actually, five, but one came from a store.
Okay.
So I don't even think we brought it out.
Okay. What kind
of pie? The four that made it to the table were homemade.
Okay.
Wow. Apple, chocolate, cherry, and pumpkin.
Nice.
And they were all fantastic. Yes. How was yours?
It was great. We had great. We had Laura and Asa made an apple pie, and it was beautiful and delicious. Uh-huh. And then we had a couple other desserts at the family. My niece made like a cheesecake, and mm-hmm. My sister-in-law made a caramel cake, and it was all very good.
Yeah,
good. You're talking about four kinds of pie, though, makes me think of, did you ever read Harold and the Purple Crayon to your grandkids or anything?
No.
It's this kid's book, and there's this part where it's like, and it was all nine kinds of pie that Harold loves best. And I'm like, I don't think I can name nine pies. But Scott has four pies.
Four. I can name best. Four because I ate them.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I did. I had a sliver of all four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we had a good Sunday.
Yes.
First Sunday of Advent. So the church was all decorated for Christmas, which was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sang some Christmas music.
Sang some Christmas songs and hymns. They're hymns of the faith. That's mm-hmm. what I like about real Christmas songs. There's so much theology in them.
Yep.
I don't mean, you know, simple, not simple, but cheesy Christmas songs. I mean hymns,
yeah,
Christmas
hymns.
They're wonderful. Sure. They teach us the faith. And so we sang some Christmas songs and started an Advent series from Luke chapters 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be there. Actually, we're taking the whole month. We started on November 30th, and then we're going all the way through December in Luke 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And yesterday was where it starts, with the prophet.
Yeah.
The last great prophet announcing the Messiah. That's John, mm-hmm. also known as John the Baptist.
Right.
So that's where we were.
Okay. And then you want to give an overview? I guess your overview of this sermon was over a lot.
Over a lot. It was over John. It was, yes. So John is, so Luke 1 and 2 is really John and Jesus.
Yeah.
They're running parallel there. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they're both announced, and then they're both born.
Yep.
And so, and then they actually have that little interim where they meet.
Yeah. Which is such a cool moment. Yeah.
So that means there's a section in Luke where John is announced, that his birth is announced mm-hmm. to his father. There's a section in Luke where the birth of Jesus is announced to his mother. Mm-hmm. And then John is born, and then yep. Jesus is born. All right. So we were on John Sunday. So mm-hmm. we started with the announcement of his birth to his father, who is a priest. Mm-hmm. And then we ended with his actual birth, and then his father, Zechariah, the priest's prophecy about John.
Yeah.
And how he would be the one who is going to announce, he's going to go before, he's going to announce the coming of the Messiah called the Sunrise from on high. Mm-hmm. And so that was the prophet. So we started Advent about Jesus by talking about John the prophet.
Yeah. Good way to start. Mm-hmm. And the part you just mentioned towards the end in verse 67, you have Zechariah's prophecy about John. And you talked about locating yourself in history because you see him giving, he blesses God. He gives kind of an overview of God's history with his people. And then he kind of sets John in the midst of it,
mm-hmm.
Verse 76, and you, child, will be called. So mm-hmm. you had a moment there where you shared about your own story, but you were generally talking about this idea of, in our own minds, setting ourselves in history in the light of God. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Okay. Yeah, that would be. I guess that would come under the category of amplifying a sub point.
Yeah.
In the sermon. So the big picture of this whole thing with John or John the Baptist in Luke 1 and 2 is that God sends his prophet before the coming of the Messiah to announce and to prepare. And all of the prophets in the Old Testament and then John in the New Testament, all the prophets said things and did things that were always pointing to Christ and building anticipation. Mm-hmm. And so that's the main point. And so we just needed to start there Sunday to get to Christ in the following Sundays. But in the context of all that, I did make the point, as somewhat of a sub-point, that what Zechariah was doing in his prophecy, encourage people to read it. It's Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 67 and then through 79. Encourage people to read it. What Zechariah does, one of the things he does, is he prophesies about his son in the sense that his son is a part of God's great saving work. And Zechariah mentions Abraham and God's mm-hmm. covenant to Abraham, where God announced and promised that through Abraham would come another son and a nation, and that nation would be a blessing to the nations. And as the rest of the Bible plays out, and we read about in the New Testament, the blessing that came from Abraham is the Messiah, and the people of Abraham, Israel, is the Messiah who is the Savior of the nations. Mm-hmm. See, so John is located right in that flow of history. And mm-hmm. then the other one he mentions is David, King David. And he said God made an oath and a covenant with David. Mm-hmm. And we know that to be the promise that God gave to David, that his son, Solomon, or he says a son, will sit on the throne and his kingdom will know no end and he will reign forever. Well, we know that Solomon died, so there's that prophecy of a greater son. And we mm-hmm. know as the Bible plays out, that greater son is Jesus. So Jesus is both carrying out the promise of Abraham and of David. And John the Baptist, Zechariah, locates him right in that history and says, you are a part of this history. You are a prophet of the Most High. Mm-hmm. You will be born for this purpose. And to think about an application, and this is where we can amplify this. The application there is that's the way it is in Christ. Like, we find ourselves in something bigger than ourselves mm-hmm. by God's grace, and that is God's history of salvation. Every person who is saved, is a Christian, is a part of God's redemptive purpose and God's redemptive plan. Mm-hmm. That means that we are never without purpose, we're never without identity, we never are without a place to belong. And I just find that to be a powerful message to a people, to any individual, and especially in our culture where people are trying to figure out who they are and where they belong. Yes, we can do that through family identity. Ancestry is big right now. Everybody's looking, mm-hmm. searching for their ancestors. Fine. But what if you don't know? And what if you don't find them? Is that, what are you? Do you not have a place to belong? Do you not have an identity? Well, in Christ you do. Mm-hmm. Because we belong to God's family, God's redemptive story. So I just found it interesting as Zechariah was prophesying about his son, John. He didn't talk so much about John being his son and the grandson of his father. He talked about John being in God's great saving history, and that's where he located his son's purpose and identity.
Yeah.
And I would give that to people, and I'll ask you, because you're the youth pastor here at Grace, I would give that to, and I made a brief little comment about young people. Mm-hmm. This seems to be a time when young people are told, you really are a blank slate. Like, you really got to make yourself something. You got to identify yourself as someone and something. You got to find your group that you identify with. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very confusing to young people because we were not made that way.
Yeah.
So, if you don't mind, I'll flip this around to you and ask you, does that make sense, what I just said? And how would that, if it does, how would that How would that apply to a youth culture that is searching for identity? Isn't that kind of the thing?
Yeah, I think so. I think that it is helpful because I feel like most of the things that we look for in terms of identity are incredibly short-sighted. I don't think that's unique just to youth culture. So if you just walk up to some random guy on the street and said, "Who are you?" you'd probably get something about, you get a name, you get some kind of family thing that's like the immediate. I have a wife, I have X number of kids or no kids or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you probably have an occupation. Mm-hmm. And that's probably what you would get in terms of like somebody describing who they are. Mm-hmm. And then if you press them a little bit more, then like you mentioned, you might get some family background information. My family came over, mm-hmm. you know, to America from so-and-so place at this time or something like that. But that'd be mostly what you would get from people. Now, if you ask a student or something to tell you about themselves, or if they're pushed to identify in some particular way, I said short-sighted because it's almost all just from within.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think the teenage years you don't even necessarily know what some of those things are about yourself. Like, you don't, you know, you think about us as older people who maybe have a little bit more of a sense of how we operate, or I feel like there are things I'm discovering about my own personality even now that I don't even know. So you're asking somebody to like build an identity based on the way that they know themselves or their personal preferences or mm-hmm. things like that. It's just short-sighted. Mm-hmm. And I think it's not going to make sense to pull your sense of purpose out of a set of characteristics about yourself mm-hmm. in that moment mm-hmm. with no relation to anything else. Mm-hmm. But I think that what you're describing in this, which is finding myself in the story of God's working in the world, gives me a longer view mm-hmm. first about what life's purpose is in general. I mm-hmm. mean, if you keep it down to just the blank slate idea with mm-hmm. one person, mm-hmm. I mean, they might just miss what the purpose of life is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Purpose of life is to glorify God. That's not mm-hmm. something we're necessarily going to come up with if we're just listing a bunch of things that we like or don't like. Might mm-hmm. be more likely that we not mm-hmm. catch that. And so I think having that long view that says, God made me. He made me with a purpose, as I see in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
He's redeemed me through the blood of Jesus and had made me into a new creation. That all of that, but even looking back at God's faithfulness and the history of his people and saying, I am also one of his people.
Mm-hmm.
And his faithfulness to that he showed to his people back then, and the way that we see him keeping his promises throughout Old and New Testament,
mm-hmm.
Means that those promises are extended to me.
Mm-hmm.
I can trust based on the faithfulness he's already showed in his revealed word, and that means that I can live confidently now. And that might mean that probably will mean some self-denial.
Yeah.
Right? If I take some of the things that I might be inclined to do of my own accord,
yeah.
I might not want to say no to those things, but if I set myself in this history
mm-hmm.
and I place myself under God's working in the world throughout this long period of time, I get a better view of what it's really all about.
Yes.
And I can maybe more freely deny myself some yeah. things that I might be inclined to and say yes to some things that now I see are more valuable yeah. than what I yeah. might take up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. I think a message that I would want to say to not only teenagers, but the culture is that it is not wrong or restrictive to be told what your purpose is and who you are and what your purpose is.
Mm-hmm.
That's not wrong.
Right.
So none of us are going to be John the prophet. We're not going to be John the Baptist. You know, that's not it. But let's step back from him specific and realize what happened. He never, when he grew up, he never had to ask the question, who am I? Where do I belong? What is my purpose? Why? It was told to him.
Yeah.
We don't have space for that. In our culture, you can't tell somebody. Now, I mean, I can't tell you, but I mean, in our culture, people in general should not have anything from outside telling them who they are, where they belong, what their purpose is. Because that's wrong. We say that's wrong. Everybody has to do that for themselves. But that's a new concept. Mm-hmm. That's the new concept.
Yeah.
John, the prophet, he didn't grow up with any sense of like, I've been wronged because my father prophesied because God told him to. So really, I've not been wrong because God told me who I am and mm-hmm. where I belong and what I'm supposed to do. That's not wrong.
Yeah.
I would, my message to myself and to our culture and to our young people would be to say, listen and let God tell you who you are, where you belong, what you're supposed to do, your basic identity. You don't have to make that up.
Yeah.
It's too burdensome for you to make that up.
Yeah.
And that's what I found in John. It's a strange application, I know. I mean, it's not the main thing that's in there, but I did find it powerful, and I did want to communicate it.
Yeah.
That God, the God of the universe, has created us, and if we are in Christ, He's recreated us. He has assigned us an identity, a people, a belonging, a purpose, an end game, where we're going. Mm-hmm. And there's so much joy and freedom in that. This whole notion of nobody has the right to tell you those things for you, you've got to figure those out, is death. Mm. It's killing people.
Yeah.
And let's just say it.
Yeah. It certainly breeds a lot more confidence to say, oh, I know that my purpose is what God has said that it
yes.
is. And He's the one that's in control, has the ability to carry out His promises, has equipped me to do the things that He's called me to do, instead of me just kind of guessing my way through it.
Guessing my way through and then finding myself agreeing with things that I normally wouldn't agree with just because I've got to belong to a group. Mm-hmm. Finding myself, as we said last week, enraged about stuff I'm probably not really enraged about, but I'm going to share the rage because I belong to this group.
Yeah.
Questioning basic things about what is a human being and what is a man and a woman, a male and a female. Mm-hmm. Because I'm told that I've got to figure all that out by myself because it can't be imposed from without.
Right.
These are nonsense things, and yeah. they're killing people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I found that in John being told yeah. from the time of his birth, at his birth, this is what God has called you to be and do. Hmm. Walk in these ways. And he yeah. did.
Yeah.
That's powerful, brother.
So we should do that, and then we should say yes to it.
Say yes to it, and that helps us, as you said earlier, helps us say no to a whole lot of other things that are not going to be according to God's will.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And then this, and then moving forward, the next coming Sundays, we're talking about Jesus.
Yeah. We're off of John talking about right. Jesus. Yes.
What he would have wanted.
That's right. We had to get to Jesus through John.
That's right.
And John decreases, Jesus increases, and others will be preaching. For the next 3 weeks, and then I'll be back to finish this at the end of December.
Sounds good.
All right.
All right. We'll see you Sunday.